evening, good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your host, Elohim Christ. Once again, we're here live on Sunday to enhance each other's worldview, opinion, or however you want to say it. But we are here live and in living color. I'm Elohim Christ. I'm your host today. And we'll just go through a couple of brief things here to bring you up to speed here. Elohim means the God within. So basically, we all are conscious energy forms of flesh, so we are all actually Elohim. Christ is one who has crystallized into oneness with the universe. Okay? That's what Christ means. So if you begin to realize who you are and what you are and spiritually, you know, and you're on that spiritual journey, then you are on your way to becoming a Christ. Christ is not a last name, it's a title. One who is enlightened. And we are enlightened. We just have to look for things to make us more enlightened than what we actually are, okay? Now, we always start off with love. I'm not going to talk for a couple of seconds on love because the topic of the day, I think it's very important. Love is the act that makes others feel good. That's coming from the culture of reap what you sow. If the act that you're going to commit does not make the other person feel good, don't commit the act, okay? That way your relationships will last much longer, you know? And remember the culture of reap what you sow. If you don't want it done to you, don't do it to someone else, okay? That's the culture of reap what you sow. It's your natural culture. It's built in your DNA. That's who you are, okay? Now, the topic for today, this is a very good topic. I love this topic. And I waived the half an hour that I usually talk before I let everybody jump in. So you can jump in at any time. If you want to jump in or comment or whatever, just press one on your dial to let me know that you have something to say or you want to add to the conversation. The topic of today is, what does it mean to be a father? And that's a big one because this culture, or I should say the 1%, they give us a certain mindset of what a father is and who a father is and what he's supposed to do. But once you've decided, well, some of you become fathers without deciding, but once you become a father, right, that means that you have decided to shape the future of the world. Now, what does that mean? We've been on this planet for hundreds of thousands of years, but we're still here because of the children. Children actually guarantees your journey into the future, okay? Well, wait a minute. How can a child guarantee my journey into the future? Well, you have a chance to reshape the world and leave a legacy for the child that you're growing, okay? The child that you're monitoring, the child that you're helping to do things with, and that child is how you've decided to physically, okay, continue your journey into the future. Because when we leave here, we don't continue physically, okay? We might have a spiritual presence, a spiritual awakening, where we do things spiritually, but physically, that child is you reaching into the future, okay? Now, the 1%, now, actually, when we had a child, we should get a book, at least 1,000 pages big, on what to do and how to bring that child up, how to raise that child. But you don't get nothing. Just go home with that child and just do the best you can. Some of us learned the lessons of our parents, and some of the lessons was good, some of the lessons was bad. But at any rate, we do the best that we can to raise the child, to bring those children up. But this question is this. There's a thought process that we should be engaged in when the child comes in. The importance of the child is your participating in your political beliefs. Now, when you have a child, how are you raising? What kind of political system is your house raised on? Most of us don't have a political system that the house is raised on. So that when the child begins to grow up, they don't know anything about politics. Because you can raise your child as a Democrat, as a Republican, as a socialist, as a communist, as whatever, anarchist, or however you want to raise that child, whatever your political thought process is, it should be carried on to the child, and your house should be grown or raised under that particular political process. Now, all the fathers that's on the line, think about it right now, okay? What political process was your house under when you were raising your children? And when I think about me and my house raising my children, well, there's no political process at all. Just doing the best we can to feed and clothe these children and keep them in school. That was the thought process at the time. Because the 1% is not giving us the proper information or the proper thought process to compete with them. Ah, that's a very interesting term. To compete with them. Because when you raise your child towards future endeavors, knowing that this child's going to carry you physically into the future and possibly change the world, you begin to treat your child, begin to give your child different information. You begin to make your child aware of things that you might not ordinarily make them aware of. Another question is, what age should your child be brought into the political process? Man, soon that child come out and gets spanked and starts crying, that's when the political process begins, okay? Because there's a lot of things that you don't know about the process, and it starts right there with the birth of the child. That's when the whole process begins, because when that child is born, you have 30 days to claim that child. And if you don't claim that child within 30 days, they give you a birth certificate, okay? The birth certificate is the statement of ownership from the system. That means the child no longer belongs to you, it belongs to the system. Because after 30 days, if you do not claim that child, your child is listed as abandoned and the child is taken over by the state. That's the political process from day one, see? And you have to be aware of the process. Now, if you want to, when something happens, when you go through a divorce or something silly happens, you have to fight the court because the court is in control of the child, not you. And quiet as it's kept, you do not need a birth certificate for your child. All you have to do is set up a family Bible. Well, I'm not religious. Well, you don't have to be religious to open the Bible and use the Bible as it's set up on the political process. With a family Bible and the history of your family in that particular Bible, do you know you can use that as a passport to travel around the country, to travel out of the country? Oh, I didn't know that. The Bible is very important. But it also is the beginning of the political process for this and for the system. Because that's what they're using. That's how they conquered the known world. They conquered the known world with the Bible. You say, well, wait a minute. The Bible is a Christian book. No, it ain't a Christian book. The Bible is a history of what has happened to on your journey into the future. That's what the Bible, it has nothing to do with religion. According to my understanding, and this is my understanding, religion is you realigning yourself with source energy. Because you are source energy, that's what you're made up out of. So when you start the political process as a child, you have to remember, when that baby is born, you have to take custody. You have to file for custody of the child within 30 days. That's how the political process starts. If you and your wife or your girlfriend or baby mama, baby daddy, however they say it these days, they got new terms out here. If you don't file for custody within 30 days, the child is listed as abandoned, and they give you a birth certificate, okay? And the birth certificate means that the state has taken the ward of your child. The state has claimed your child because you your child was lifted as abandoned. That's why you have so much trouble every time something happens. They can come in and take your child, do what they want to do with the child, because you haven't taken custody of your child. And that's just the beginning process. That's the beginning political process. Now, I see we have a few numbers just chiming in here. Just a recap, as we're going through what does it mean to be a father, you have taken a step to change the future, change the world. Because that child you bring in is your physical extension on the planet. And that child, based on how you raise that child, has the opportunity to push your values onto the planet, to make the place, okay? Now, the question that I asked was, what political system is your household run on? And most of us don't run a house on a political system. We don't know if we go down and we sign up to be Republicans or Democrats or Independents because it's something that we have to do. But we don't think in terms of if that's who I am or what I am, then I'm going to raise my house as Democrat, as Republicans. You go to some of these European houses, they raise their children as Republicans. Oh, we've been Republicans for generations. Because it's the political process. They decided that they like the system of a republic. So they raise their children, bring their household onto that so that their children can help shape the future. When their children become teenagers, they know the political process because they were raised under it. Okay? Now, now the importance of your child practicing your political beliefs is astronomical. I mean, it's really a big deal. See, what does it mean to be a father? It means you have decided to participate in the global activity of changing the world, okay? Because that's what the child is here for. The child is here to make change and to do things and to make our lives better, to make their children's lives better than theirs were. That's what they're here for. Now, what are you giving, what are you arming this child with? If you yourself haven't picked a political system that you like, what type of child are you raising? Are you raising a man? Are you raising a woman? Are you raising a person? Are you raising a guy? Are you raising a scientist, a doctor, a lawyer, a chemist? What type of child are you raising? What are you putting in that child's mind to be, you know? Because you're in effect, have influence on a child at a very early age based on who you are and what you're doing. Now, remember, the minute that child opens its eyes, it's watching. It's learning. It's watching everything you do, learning everything you say. But when they start spitting stuff back at you that you've been spitting out, you get mad at them. When they start come out doing some of the things that you do, you get mad at them. Don't get mad at the child. If you don't like what the child is doing, change your ways. Because the child is learning from you. You are the child's teacher. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, what type of child am I raising? You know, if you're raising a child as a man or a woman, and skipping the spiritual aspect where they're both men and women, okay, then that they have a certain thought process. Then you have the fight between the sexes, okay? It depends on how you're raising your child. If you're raising your child as deity, which that's what your child actually is. Oh, deity. Oh, Lord, here we go with this again. All of the books, Bhagavad Gita, Asti, the Kabbalah, the Bible, all the books, the Quran, I'm telling you. You're the vicegerent, man, of the planet. That's what says in the Quran, okay? You're all God's children of the Most High. All the books are telling you who you are, but the 1% don't want the competition. Now, they don't want you to raise your children as the most powerful beings on the planet, which is what they are, okay? Now, if your child is not learning in school, it's not your child's fault. It's the teacher's fault. Don't blame your child. When your child come home with that D, don't look at your child like your child is stupid. Your child is not dumb. The teachers are dumbing down the children. If the child don't get the proper information to pass the test, I don't care if your child's a genius. If they don't have the information, they're not going to pass the test. Where to get the information from? How they get the information from the teachers. The one thing that you need to arm your child with when you're sending your child off to school, they're not going to school to become smart. You have to stop that practice. They're going to school because they're smart. You have to take the power away from the teachers, because it's not up to the teachers to make your child smart. It's up to the teachers to make sure that your child has the information to pass the test that they're supposed to pass. And if they're not passing these tests, if the teacher is not getting the information to the child, okay? And when you send your children to these public schools or whatever school you send them to, you need to spend at least 2 hours a day with the child, grooming them, because they're not getting what they need from the educational process. You've got to remember that the people who are running the educational system, right, have one thing on their mind. Somebody got to work at Geno's. Somebody got to work at Mickey D's. Everybody can't be in the operating room as a doctor. Everybody can't be building the buildings as an architect. There ain't enough room up there for everybody. So they got to make sure that some children are doctors and some children are nurses. Some children are coming in to clean up, sweep the floors, and wax them, make sure everything is clean. They have to have a variety of different people to do the different types of work. It's up to you to circumvent what they're trying to do for your child and make sure that your child is getting what you need for your child to help shape their future, because that is our future. The children are our future, you know. Now, one thing that I stress, okay, when we're dealing with the children, okay, is that you begin raising them under their natural culture. Oh, what natural culture? What do you mean natural culture? Your children are cosmic beings. Their natural culture is reap what you sow, okay? That's their natural culture. Everything in the cosmos is constructed based on that thought process. Whatever you put out, like if you throw a ball against the wall, however hard you throw it, that's how hard it's coming back. That's how they set the planets up. If the sun has a certain gravitational pull, and if you put a ball of a gas going around that planet at a certain speed, it will lock in and it will go into orbit. That's another thing that the scientists aren't telling you. There's the ball of gas around the sun. This is how the planets are developed. Well, that's a whole other story. I don't want to get into all that. But there's a lot of things that they're not telling you. But everything is based on read what you sow. I don't care what it is. If you can put that on everything that they're doing, because they know the culture, and they make sure that you don't get it. Because if you got the culture and you're passing this culture politically onto your children, none of your children will go to jail. It will be like it was when they first came to Africa. We didn't have jails. What do we need jails for? Children know how not to steal and not to lie and cheat and do things. They know how they can control themselves because you tell them who they are. Their deity means that they have the power to not break the rules. They have the strength to live without breaking the rules. And the rules, what are the rules? Reap what you sow. It's been given to us. The Ten Commandments, they're not commandments. That's the portion. That's the physical or the social portion of reap what you sow. You don't want anybody to kill you, don't kill nobody else. You don't want anybody lying to you, then stop lying. You know, see, they don't follow this culture. Trump is, you know, we got the lionest people on the planet in the country right now. But see, once you get into your actual culture, go back to your actual culture, everything begins to change. Your whole thought process will begin to change, and you look at the child with a different attitude, because that child. Now, this is something that you might not hear too often, but you don't pick the child. The child picks you. See what I'm saying? And what you need to do when that child starts growing to find out why the child picked y'all as parents, because you're not picking the child. You might decide to have a baby, You know what I'm saying? That physical baby, that's yours. But the conscious energy that comes into the egg once the egg is fertilized, okay? They got videos on this here. Now, the scientists don't know why. We're going to go through it just for a second. When the egg is first fertilized, right, and goes into motion, a light comes into the egg. The egg begins to illuminate. See, that's when the egg vibrates at a certain frequency, which is 72 megahertz, or 72 hertz, I forget, but it's 72. Anyway, I think 72 hertz. And at that particular frequency, that conscious energy is the child, and the child becomes a living being, okay? Now, that conscious energy has decided to pick you as the parent, to pick y'all as the parent. Now, the scientists don't understand where the light comes from, you know, but that's what's going on. And that aura stays with the child all its life, okay? You have an aura around you. I'm going to take just to tell you how to begin to see your aura. I know this ain't part of the lecture, but I'm just going to take a couple of seconds to tell you how to see your aura. The next time you go to a lecture or you have somebody sitting around or sitting still or however, look at that person. Unfocus your eyes. And you begin to see a dim light going around the person, all right? Now, the better you come at it, the more you'll be able to see the light, see the auras, and it'll change into different colors the more you practice it. But defocus your eyes, okay? You can't look directly at the person. Just let your eyes go and let your eyes be focused, and that aura will begin to come out. Just practice this, and you'll see what I'm saying. That aura is there when the child is born. You know, when the egg is first fertilized and it matches that 72 megahertz, which is the megahertz of the brain, which is the megahertz of the planet and the cosmos out there. It's all at 72. 72 is mine. You know, which goes into a whole lot of other stuff. But I'm not really here to go through all that. We just sometimes I get a little carried away. But if you can practice seeing auras, it will really begin to change your life, because you can look at a person and you'll be able to see dark spots. And those dark spots are ailments. And you'll be able to tell them whether they have heart problems or kidney problems or what's going on, and they can get to the doctor, okay? I know I told a friend of mine, wife, this once, you know. She didn't really believe me, but a few weeks later, she had a heart attack. See what I'm saying? I told her there were dark spots there. See what I'm saying? But you can see auras. You can notice this stuff. Practice this. Remember, defocus your eyes. Actually, everything in existence has an aura, because there's energy flowing from inanimate objects. So you can practice this on almost anything that you want. Just defocus your eyes, and you begin to see a light shape around the object. This will help you see auras, okay? And the more you practice it, the more you'll be able to see the colors and stuff like that there. It takes a little while to see the chakras. it takes a little while to see that. But what you're going to get, you're not going to get colors at first. You're just going to get like a white light. It's like a light, but it's not light, because it's coming from the object. You see what I'm saying? And it's not a reflection, but it's something that's actually coming from the object, and you'll be able to see it. So you can practice this and see auras, okay? So now the scientists, they having trouble with that particular process. Now, I don't know if you can get the video, as long as somebody never gave it back. But they do have a video of that particular process when the egg is first fertilized, when it begins to move, and when the light actually comes, when the light turns on an egg. They can't explain the light, but I'm explaining the light. Light is the aura of the conscious energy coming into that flesh to go through the cycle as your child, okay? And that life cycle picked you. That conscious energy picked you to be the child. Now, only that child knows why it picked you. Nobody else knows why it picked you. See what I'm saying? So if you can spend more time with the child and learn from the child, and the child will give you a reason why, you know, it picks you, you know. So I didn't mean to go up into all that, but it just that just seemed to be what was coming up. But however, you know, being a part of a child's life is a great experience. I mean, a wonderful experience, especially if you have engaged in the thought process that you're going to change the future. Now, if you engage in the thought process that you're going to change the future, that child is your change. That child is where the change of the future is going to take place. Okay? So you spend a lot of time with that child, helping that child, dealing with that child, but future is changed by the child's, I don't like to use the term religious experience, but they have given you the wrong understanding of what religion is. Religion is realigning yourself with source energy. And that's what you want the child to do. You want the child to realign itself with source energy, which is itself, because we're all made up of source energy, because that's the only energy that exists. Because in the beginning, there was the only energy that was here was source energy. So if anything was going to be made, it had to be made out of that energy. And that's how you got here. You're that energy, and as conscious beings of source energy, you're actually the universe expanding itself. I didn't mean to go into all this, but it just seems to go there. Now, remember, if you have a comment or a question, you know, all you have to do is hit one, and it will let me know that you want to make a comment or you have a question. I'd like to thank everybody that's calling in. I really appreciate you calling in. it lets me know that I'm not going to be here every Sunday. I'm by myself just making lecture CDs, okay? But the thought process that I'm taking you through, I think it's very important, okay? Because being a father is so, so profound. It's an amazing thing. You have the opportunity, you have the chance to change the future. That's something to think about, you know? It's your responsibility to give that child what it needs mentally, to help prepare it to make changes in the future. Because every child that comes out the mama's womb is smart. No dumb children come out the womb, okay? The only thing is children that get information and children that don't get information. That's why they spend so much to send their children to Harvard and Princeton and all these schools, because of the information, all right? Now, you don't have the money to send your child to Harvard, but the information is available in your books, especially the Bible, the Quran, Bhagavad Gita, Aspi, all these books. There's information available in there for you, okay? And, okay, just to give me an example. Well, you know, I'm a Bible thumper. But just to give you an example how powerful the Bible is, okay, on Economics Day, I teach about the 50% budget, okay? Spend half, save half. With the 50% budget, you'll never need a bank. You'll always have money. And if you can't save half your money, you're living beyond your means, okay? That's the 50% budget. Oh, man, where did this concept come from? And how did the Europeans know about this, where they can save so much money and build so many things? Remember the story of Joseph, when they dropped him in the hole and they took him into Egypt. What did he do to save Egypt? He put Egypt on a 50% budget for 7 years. Save half, spend half. Egypt was saved. That's the moral of the story. We get hung up on, well, did Joseph really exist and how his family treated him? We get hung up on all that. But that's not the moral of the story, see? If you catch the moral of the story, all right, it will enhance your life so much more. So when you read these books, don't get caught up whether you had Tutmosis and oh boy, you should hear some of the stuff that they'd be going through out there, you know. I listen to the children, especially if you're not familiar with Sunetta TV. Go on Sunetta, go on YouTube, look up Sunetta TV, and all our children are out there. I'm talking about the black children. All our children are out there, and they'll be debating with each other, and they are so smart. I could debate with these children. I mean, they're out there. These children are smart, man. You know, you have, I'm trying to think of the name. You have a general, you have a Ploid, you have Dr. Ali Muhammad. There's so many of them, you know, and they got the Amin Ra squad. They got these beautiful names and everything, but they're missing the big picture. They're missing the morals of the stories, you know? That's what they're missing. So if you get a chance, go on sign on the TV and listen to them. That's Strictly Black TV, okay? And you get to listen to the children and what they're doing and what they're saying out there, okay? But I'm just giving you an idea of some of the examples, of just one example in the Bible. If you go to the moral aspect of it, it will enhance your life, you know. There's another one dealing with economics, you know. Let's say Moses, the story of Moses. You know, I mentioned these two stories because they deal with finance. Those two stories deal with finance and how to enhance your life financially, you know. The 50% budget, spending half, saving half, okay. That will definitely enhance your life, okay. Now, what was the moral of the story of Moses? Was the fact that he was raised and he was sent down a river? You know what I mean? There is some morals in that, but the actual moral of the story was that they left the economic structure of Egypt. And when he got to a place, they gave 10% to the Levites, which set up a central banking system. That's how the 12 tribes became powerful. Central banking system. Whereas black people in this country, where's your central banking system? Why are you still using your enemy's economic structure? That's what's going on in Iran right now. Iran decided we're not going to use the dollar no more because the United States is their enemy. So they're not using the enemy's economic structure. Iran, Pakistan, Russia, all of them are dumping the dollar. The United States has always been their enemy, but they're beginning to realize that the United States is the enemy. And and we need to set up our own economic structure. So they start to print their own money, you know. That's why they killed Muammar Gaddafi, right? That's why they killed Saddam Hussein, because they decided to come off the economic structure of the United States and go on a gold standard. They couldn't have that, okay, because they need that control. They need that monetary control. Okay, I don't know how I got up into all this. I wasn't supposed to go this direction, but my goodness. But the mics are open, so I mean, if you have a comment or a statement, but right now I'd like to take a minute here, and and run a little commercial. We have I'm not going to mention everybody here. I'm just going to mention one or two people as far as the commercial is concerned. My name is Elohim Christ, and I'm going to be here every Sunday. Technology permitting. Last Sunday I went here, I had technical problems, I couldn't get on the air. That's going to happen from time to time. But technology permitting, I'll be here every Sunday at 8 o'clock from 8 to 9, all right? And the call-in number is 516-453-9230. Also, I have a CD on the market. It's a gospel CD. If you want to hear me sing, and I've written all the music and everything on the CD, just go to YouTube. Look up Elohim Christ 10 tracks and you'll be able to hear my CD. Okay. Also, I have I'm going to be releasing what's called the music formula. For those who want to write music, it's a formula that you can write, and the CD that you hear is based on that formula. It would help you write songs. You can write a song every 5 or 10 minutes if you just follow the formula, because it tells you exactly what to do and how to do it. So I'm going to be releasing that on Amazon soon. Will you be able to get that? Okay. Well, that's about it. That's about it. So, and like I say, the call-in number is 516-453-9230. Okay. And also, I'd like to mention Sister Tammy. She has a spoken word. She comes on YouTube. Just go to Spoken Word and get her. And her sister Tahara, I don't have her number, so I'm going to make sure I post them next week. But she has a show that comes on from Monday through Sunday. I don't know if she's on the air. I don't know her regular phone number. So if she's on the air, maybe she can push 1 and give you some information about her show. Also, I don't have the information up on Brother Mac, but I see Brother Mac is on the air. So I want to know if Brother Mac went big push one and get some information about his show. It's called Legacy of a Nation. It comes on every Saturday. So Brother Mac, are you there? And push one and let me know that you want to give a little shout out about your show and what's happening out there. Okay. Okay, there he is right there. Okay, so Brother Mac is live. Okay.
What's up?
Brother Mac, Legacy of a Nation. How you doing today, brothers?
Very good. You got a really interesting topic going on today, and I would like for you to, if you would, elaborate a little more and clarify what you mean when you speak of us as being deity. I realize that we're accustomed to referring to, I think we refer to deity by the name God. Am I on track here?
Yes. I try not to use the term God because it suggests male and female. As conscious energy, we're both male and female. And I like to think more on the spiritual side than the physical side. Because we get so caught up in the physical that we lose track with our spiritual side and we have trouble connecting with the ancestors to get the information that we need to take us into the future, you know? So, because we have gender wars and all kinds of fighting stuff going on over the physical, when spiritually we're both male. And as conscious energy, we have the ability to manipulate source energy for our own benefit. That's what deity is. And we have the power to create rules and not break them. Well, that's what deity. Deity can be male or female. That's why you use deity, you know? So all of the books, it's not just coming from me. You know, the Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, all of them tells us that we are divine, you know, and that we have this power within us to do things. Coming from our Kundalini, the two pineal, the pineal gland and the other gland that's in the middle, we have our chi energy that will help us accomplish a lot of things that we don't think we can do. In fact, on YouTube, they have some guys that are teaching about the chi. And that's how we there's so much that we can do, but we have to grow into the thought process of who we really are. And we're not the people living in these meat suits. These meat suits are not really who we are, you know? That's how we're functioning on a physical plane. But we're so much more inside. What Martin King said, the content of a person's character, what's inside is more important than what's outside, you know? And this is how we lost control of the planet, because we're looking at that white meat suit and think, they ain't nothing. They ain't got no melanin. They can't do nothing. And they put their foot on our neck, because we underestimated the God that's inside the meat suit. And we can't do that no more. We can't underestimate who we're dealing with, you know? So when you run into a person, you're dealing with deity. No matter what color they are or what shape or size or whatever, you're dealing with deity, and you're dealing with a powerful being. And we have to recognize that. And if you slip, if you slip on that, then that person, you know, depends on who they are and depends on what culture they're under, you'll lose everything that you have. You can't underestimate that conscious energy in that meat suit. Now, I understand that you have the show Legacy of a Nation that comes on a Saturday.
Yes, sir. Legacy of a Nation comes on every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. And we speak on four main topics over the course of the month, for an hour each week. And the four main topics that we cover, Brother Elohim, are health, history, politics, and economics. Health because we feel that a nation must know how to gain health for its citizens, residents, for its people, and how to maintain that health. And history because a people needs to know where they came from, who they are, and so learning who they are and where they came from, they may have some idea of where they may be going to. And health, history, politics, a nation must know how to govern itself. It must have a political structure that governs the people from the bottom up, or from the top down, or from the middle, and going in both directions. But economics, a nation must have an economic structure so that the people can feed and maintain themselves. And so, when we speak for an hour on one of those subjects, we do it in a form such as the one that you're using. In other words, it's an interactive show, and the listeners can just listen, or they can they can ask questions, they can make comments, and they can also pull it up on the internet. The telephone number for the show on Saturday is 319-527-1.319-527-6199. And I appreciate your, allowing me to tell your audience about my show, Brother Elohim, and I would like to point out that much of what we're trying to convey on my show is parallel and coincides with what you're doing. We don't go so far as to claim deity, but it's only because we don't know yet about it. What we do is we make the claim and the assertion that we are Aborigines here in these lands of the Americas, that our people were here when the Europeans came in 1492. And that information has been taken away from us. It has been bred out of us. And as Dr. King said 50 years ago, we're treated like immigrants in our own land. And so Legacy of a Nation is attempting to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. We're attempting to make our people aware that this land is our land, that we have always been here, and by way of our ancestry, we are Aborigines, we are natives, we are indigenous to the lands of the Americas and all of the Caribbean islands. That's North America, Central America, South America, and all of the Caribbean islands. We were here when they came, and we have always been here. And so thank you very much for letting me
thank you very much as well. I appreciate you chiming in on listening to the broadcast every Sunday, and so do I. While you were saying that, when you didn't have the number, I pulled up the other numbers. So right now I'm going to give Sister Tahara's number out, which I didn't have earlier. She's on Block Talk Radio. She's here from Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. And her show is or the calling number for her show is, it's 917-889-8059. That's the calling number for her show. And Sister Tammy, she has a spoken word where she's on YouTube, and you can pull her up, and she has said some pretty interesting things. I like where she's coming from and some of the things that she'd be saying. And also, I pulled up the right one. They have what's called Black Girl Coding. That's a group of black people that are teaching people how to code. And I'm learning how to code myself. And it's very interesting, you know, when you start coding, how you can tell the computer to do whatever the computer wants it to do, okay? And that calling number, it's just called, go on the internet, it's Black Girl Coding. And you can pull it up and they'll teach you how to code from the internet. You know how the hackers do when they go in and open up these different files, and it's probably open. We have another caller, 7073. I like to bring the callers in right away. I don't like people to wait. So let me open up this mic here. 7073, your mic is open. Do you have a comment or a statement that you want to make?
Yeah, what's going on, Brother L? This is D.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I wanted to get the number to the other gentleman's show. Can you have him repeat that, or did you write it down at all?
Yeah, I have it. That number is 319-527-6199. And that's the Legacy of a Nation. It's on Saturday from 6 to 7.
What time is that?
Saturday from 6 to 7. Every Saturday from 6 to 7.
Okay. And all right, yeah, I appreciate it. That's all I got.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so we're gonna move right along here, and now we're gonna get back into the topic here. Let's see here. I pulled up so much other stuff. I lost where. Oh, there we go. Now, what I wanted to go back to was the political process. Okay, the political process starts the minute that child comes out of mama's womb. The political process starts. Also, I'd like to thank everybody for being on the line. I appreciate those who are calling in. Thank you so much. Now, when a child is first born, you have 30 days to claim that child. If you don't claim that child within 30 days, the child is listed as abandoned. And once the child is listed as abandoned, then the child, they give the child a birth. They give you a birth certificate. That makes the child a ward of the state. Because the state claims the child because the child has been abandoned because you haven't claimed the child within 30 days. This is why DHS and all these organizations just come and do whatever they want with your children, all right? So if you haven't filed for custody of the child at this point and you're married and the children are young, you need to file for custody now. Take the custody from the state and bring it back to yourself. So just file for joint custody. You know, even though you're not in a custody battle, you're still going to be together, married and all that. But file for joint custody right away as soon as possible. That takes the child out of the purview of the state and bring the child back to you. And they can't just come in and do whatever they want to the child no more, okay? Don't it seem strange that once you get a divorce or something, you have to file for custody? It seems like you should already have custody, but you don't. Child is listed as abandoned. Okay, that's the political process. So you need to decide what political process that you're going to raise that child under if that child is going to help shape the future. Now, the question I asked earlier is, what political process are you raising your house under? Are you raising your house as Democrats, as Republicans, as Socialists, as Communists? Or you like the king and queen concept where you're raising your child as a prince and a princess, or what political process are you using to raise your child? And whatever you call yourself, there's a political process that goes with that. You know, when a female says, "Well, I'm a queen," well, there's a whole political process that goes with that that you should be raising your household under. And when a man says, "I'm a king," there's a whole political process that goes with that. So you have to pick. When you're naming yourself, when you're calling yourself, because we're in the process of renaming ourselves now, but you have to decide how are you going to take this child into the future? How are you going to prepare this child to change the world? Because that's what they're here for. They're here to make the world a better place. And they're bouncing off you. They're standing on your shoulders. Okay? So when they stand on your shoulders, what are they looking at? You know? What are you giving them? And one thing that I want you to do as parents, to begin taking their power away from the teachers. All right? Don't tell your child that they're going to school to get smart. You're not sending them to school to get smart. You're sending them to school because they're smart. If you tell your child that, that takes the power away from the teacher. So if they're not learning something, they'll come back and tell you, Mom and Daddy, I can't get it. You know, this teacher, I can't seem to learn from her. So you need to spend at least 2 hours a day when your child is home to give your child the necessary extra equipment that the child needs. Now, you can go on YouTube. They have a video on YouTube called Dumbing Down the Children, and it's telling you how the school system is dumbing down the children. And as parents, okay, we need to get into what's really going on politically, because everything is political or religious. Now, that's a big word. I should even use that word on the show. But because they have so screwed up that word, that when you say religion, most people have a convoluted idea of what religion is. And right now, the fastest growing religion on the planet is the people that don't want no religion, you know? And there's something wrong with that, you know? There's something wrong with that, because there's more that we need to learn, especially about the Bible and all that. I gave an example of what we should be getting from the Bible that we're not getting, or from the Quran or Asbi, Bhagavad, all these different spiritual books that we should be reading. But they're actually lessons. Okay, I'm going to go into this. I'm going to just go into this for a second, right? Wisdom. Wisdom is the person that learns from their mistakes. That's what wisdom is. Your child is born with wisdom. When a child starts walking and they grab something and don't hold them and they fall on their butt, they don't grab it again. They say, oh, I didn't grab it now. When I fell on my butt last time, man, the child is wise. Now, what gives the children an edge over other children? Your ancestors have left information about the mistakes they have made and what they have done with it. That's what the Bible is. See, the Bible is not a religious book, so to speak. It's a book about the mistakes that your ancestors have made and what you can do to prevent these same mistakes. And it also tells you about the king and queen, what they're going to do. They're going to take your children and have them run beside the chariots. And once they become king and queen, they're going to take 10% of your money to give it to their people. All this is what's going on. Once you go from being this God-like person that you are into something else, into some other title, you know? I know when I say deity, it hits people the wrong way, you know? How can I be God? I'm not an all-powerful person up there that can see and do everything. That's not who God is. That's the perception that the 1% is giving you. Look, it's God's responsibility to make sure that a person pays for their crime, right? So somebody has taken the position of God, because when you commit a crime, somebody's coming to make you pay for that crime. Who's coming? The 1% send the popo after you. They send the SWAT team. They have taken the position of God. Well, God is all seeing. What do you think the video cameras are for? And Big Brother's up there. So they can see what's going on. They're creating AI, everything else, so that they can assume the position that they're supposed to be in, which is where you are supposed to be to. So I'm just saying, it's very practical. It the thought process that they have given us keeps us away from who we really are. The planet is yours. Sure, like Mac was saying, we are indigenous to this planet. We were already here. Yes, the whole planet is ours. Not only the planet, but the sun, the moon, the stars, all that belongs to you. See what I'm saying? Somebody wants to go out and visit their real estate home. You're not thinking about that because you don't know that's your real estate up there. Okay? Somebody's trying to get out in space, but it ain't you, because you don't know that all that belongs to you. Everything out there is yours, all of it, okay? And you have to get into the practice of running this country. This is your country, okay? If you go back in, I wasn't going in this direction, but, well, we got 5 minutes, so I can take 5 minutes to get into it. You go back in, into the Continental Congress, where President Hayes and I ran the country for 8 years, find out what rules they were using, the Bill of Rights and all this and stuff. And you'll learn that George Washington didn't come up with this, you know? Why would slave owners come up with a notion that all men are created equal? You know they didn't come up with that. That was President Hayes and them. All that Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all that come from President Hayes. This is your country, all right? They stole your country from you. Now, this is the interesting part. Because of the fighting of our ancestors for the last couple hundred years, you're in a position to take control over this country and make it do better, okay? Okay, so we got two parties out there right now. The party that we should have been voting for was the Democratic Party, okay? Why? Because Obama put a lot of things in place to help everybody. And if the Democrats had got back in there, they could have kept the process going. I know Hillary was a Klansman, just like what you call me, got the, what Elijah Muhammad say, the a choice of Satan or the devil. I understand that. But it goes beyond that. You know, you got to deal with what the parties are doing. Because at one time, the Democratic Party was the Dixiecrats. They was the Klan. And the Republican Party was the party that dealt with the Republic, where they were changing and trying to help all of the people. But the Dixiecrats took over the Republican Party. They wanted to run both parties. The Republican Party now turned into the Klan Party, and the Klan Party now turned into the People's Party. It's crazy. You got to watch what the parties are doing. Vote for the party, not the person, because the things are being put in place where one party have more compassion than the other party. You're in a unique position right now. You have to go political. This is your country. Bounce off what Brother Mac just said. You're indigenous to this land. This is your land. It's all yours, okay? You don't have to take it back. You already have it. All you have to do is step up and begin to run it and bring your children into the process at an early age so they know about politics. I didn't start getting into politics until I come back from the war. Then I start thinking about politics, you know what I mean? Because my parents didn't raise me in a political house, even though they voted religiously, but they didn't raise me in a political manner. That's the question that I've asked earlier. What type of political house, what type of politics are you raising in your house? Is it a democracy, republic, socialism, communism, anarchism? What is it? You know what I'm saying? How are you raising your children? How are you raising? Oh, boy, we got about 90 seconds. Wow. I get carried away here. But you are in a very unique position. You have power and you have control. Take control of your power, all right? And do what you're supposed to do. Bring it to the children. Bring it to their thought process so they'll know what they have to do. And they can they can get a lot more done. But your children, they picked you. You didn't pick your children. Your children picked you, okay? Conscious energy forms of flesh. That meat suit that you're running around in, that's not who you are. You're that conscious energy that controls the meat suit. That meat suit will do whatever you tell it to do. If you tell it to go jump off a building, it's going to argue, man, this is going to hurt, bro. You sure you want me to jump off this building? But if you tell it to jump, it will jump. You know what I mean? And when it jumps, you'll learn it hurts, you know. But that meat suit will do whatever you tell it because you're in control over that meat suit, okay? Stop looking at each other as physical beings. Stop looking at each other as the spiritual beings that you really are. And you get more out of interacting with each other. We got about 10 seconds. This is Brother Elohim. We're here every Sunday at 8 o'clock. And from 8 to 9, we'll be here every Sunday. And thank you so much, those of you who called in, those of you who spoke and want to find out about the other shows. I appreciate that. And we will see you while we will talk next Sunday. Thank you. I love you. And enjoy the rest of your day.